Off the Ball, GAA.
Davey Burke coming out after a game and making comments like that, I'm not sure how exactly helpful it is to his team, but maybe he's trying to get a message across to them that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
You're welcome along to the League of Ireland podcast. It is Nathan with you this week. Vinnie Perth and Garth McGlynn with us as always. How are we, lads?
Well, that's a crack.
Vinnie back in the car. God knows where he's driving to. What job offer might open itself up? You're always ready, Vinnie.
Yeah. Always have the boots in the back of the car, a few spare footballs.
He sits in the Midlands, Gareth, ready, so he's an hour from anywhere.
Big time. I saw him around Newry there once when Higgins was under pressure.
He was halfway up the road.
Oh, yeah. Free dairy.
So we're back. We're back. And, well, Vinnie Perth has taken on your mantle of media whore, Gareth. Not only is he with us today, he's going to be with us tomorrow night as well at Tallaght Stadium, back home. He's going to be covering Shamrock Rovers against Derry City. Are you going to be there, Garth?
I will be there, yeah. We'll meet up and have a bit of crack.
All right. So it's going to be Vinnie and Stephen Doyle at Tallaght Stadium tomorrow night. Full live commentary on News Talk on the radio from 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll have updates from all the other games as well. The league leaders, Drogheda United, still the league leaders as we come back from the international break. They're away to Cork City. It's Bohemians against Galway United, Waterford against Pats, and Sligo against Shelburne. If somehow you've forgotten the state of the nation when we last left it, Drogheda are still top of the league. They're on 11 points. Pats and Galway are on 10 points. Shells and Waterford are on 9 points. Shamrock Rovers and Derry are on 7 points. Cork and Bowes are on 6 points. And Sligo Rovers are on 4 points. So 7 points separating everybody after 6 games. Sort of as we expected. It was going to be incredibly tight again. Big game tomorrow night, and it's a long way now, Vinny, till the next international break. I was out with Stephen Bradley earlier today, and he was talking about just how busy April is, where, you know, there's quite a few Monday games thrown in there as well. This really is the main bulk of the season where teams are going to have a good sort of 10-week stretch without a break.
Yeah, but I think the international break would have been huge for Shamrock Rovers. I said you were crying out for that. For many reasons, I think, and I haven't heard the press stuff yet, Nathan, so you might fill us in, but I'd imagine they'll have a couple of bodies back over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, everybody's back. Everybody's back with the exception of Danny Mandreou.
Yeah, so that's huge for them. And some of this stuff, when you looked at our bench, you could tell that, like whether it was Gaffney, whether it was even... whoever was on that bench, you just got the sense that they weren't ready yet. They were finding their feet, whereas that full sort of almost 2 weeks training would stand to the likes of Jack Bourne. Because I think if Rovers, if they achieve something this year, I think they need the likes of Gaffney, Ryan Bourke, thereabouts in terms of getting back to their best. And so I think the national break has been huge for Bradley. But also, I think the best teams like Rovers will enjoy a game every week, or the Monday night, Friday, Monday, they'll see that as opportunity to make ground on the rest. So, albeit it hasn't happened last year, I think going forward it will. So I think it's a great time for Shamrock Rovers. Starting tomorrow, I think it's a huge game for them. I think if they win tomorrow, you feel like momentum has sort of swung back their way over the last couple of weeks.
Might be a stupid question, Vinny, and you're probably better to answer this. Shamrock Rovers, they've a run of games now against teams from the country. I think they've 4 from outside of Dublin, and then they've a run of 4 Dublin derbies. Is there a difference when you're playing a team from outside of Dublin compared to the Dublin derbies?
I think the biggest difference is that for whatever reason, your players tend to know a lot more about the Dublin players, the Dublin-based teams. They tend to see them more often. They tend, if for example, everyone plays at the same time by and large, but they just tend to know a little bit more. You know, players that are in squads. So there's just that little difference where they've probably not seen the Derry players live. Obviously, haven't seen them live this season. they're rocking up. There's a couple of things like that. They're not sure about a couple of names, but I think with the Dublin clubs, I think they know each other inside out, and that little bit of rivalry that's there. And you've probably got lads who've, by and large, when you look at, say, Rovers and Pats, you see, you just think, spring to your mind, people like Sean Hoare played in both dressing rooms. But there isn't that for Phil Marty with a lot of the Derry players. So I just think it's part of the league, but it is a well-made point, Nathan, yeah.
So we're obviously very Dublin-centric in this podcast, Gareth, aren't we? You're always giving out about it.
I am, yes. Can we talk about the rural clubs, please?
Let's do it. So we probably haven't spoken enough about Waterford and Cork as the season has gone on. Maybe to start with Cork, Gareth, all the focus at the start of the season was on the strike partnership of Rory Keating and Seanie Maguire. Both of them have been among the goals, but Maguire has been struggling with injury. When you've seen Cork so far this season, I remember they had that 1-1 draw up at Talca Park just before the international break. What are you seeing from Cork?
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised. We all know, to me, the standard from the First Division to the Premier Division is huge. It was so important for Cork to get back into the Premier Division quickly because of the amount of just teams getting better and better, whether it be facilities, to signing players back. It's just so competitive. You can't go up and be thankful that a UCD and a Harps are there to get relegated again. So it was so important for them to get back up. But the way they recruited both Maguire and Keaton before they came up was so, so important. I mean, without them two players before they came up, it was going to be very difficult. We saw in the cup match last year against Derry, they were probably the better team with both Keaton and Maguire being exceptional. But then you sprinkle the experience of Bulger in there, the kind of the liveliness and the youth and the energy of Kelstra, Steele at Nolan and McCarthy. I mean, there's loads to be positive about. For me, they've got that fearless as well. They've got that fearless element that Waterford have, that they go and play. They don't come and sit in, absorb pressure and hit you in the counter-attack. They go and actually play and create chances and create goals. And they're fearless. And I think that comes from the manager as well. So I've been pleasantly surprised and pleasantly impressed.
Alex Nolan was an interesting signing, Finney. He probably could have stayed at Pat. Stephen Kenny might have been happy enough to keep him as a young, up-and-coming, valuable squad member, but met him before Christmas when he was just heading down to Cork and was sort of keen to go and be a first-team player, to go and prove himself that he could do it week in, week out at this level. And, you know, he's slowly but surely finding his way into the season.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think that's a big lesson for a lot of these. There's no doubt the vast bulk of sort of quality underage players are in Dublin because of the size of the sort of football community there. But what some of these lads can get lost when it comes from sort of breaking from the 19s, 20s and into the first team, and it can be really difficult. People think Rovers Academy is very good, and it is. It's excellent. It's out there, or it's up there with the very, very best in this country. But trying to get into that Rovers side over the last couple of years, and it would have been similar for Nolan at Pats. But what he's done is made a very brave call and backed himself and said, I'm going to go and play. I mean, I always reference UCD whenever I get a chance to, but when you think of the players who get forced in football exposure, UCD in the Premier Division over the years, and the great careers so many of them went to go on and have, I think Nolan has made that decision to go and back himself. He's gone into the Cork, who weren't sort of blessed with the biggest squad in the world, so he knew there'd be opportunities. He obviously knew the manager well. I think Tim has done his business really well in that sense. So I think it's a great opportunity for him. I think we're starting to see the player that we've seen at sort of underage 17s, 19s level. He was very highly regarded at Pats. And I think a lot of other young players could take a leaf out of his book. Just go and play. And a lot of the clubs will offer Sunstar, Moon, Sky, everything to these young players. But ultimately, they can't be playing. There comes a point where you've got to be patient. Don't jump in and leave too quickly. You might miss the boat and an opportunity in a big club. But I think Nolan has done everything right. I don't think he would have played overly at Pats.
Seanie Maguire's... Go on, Gareth.
Yeah, I think Cathal O'Sullivan coming back this weekend as well will be a big boost to him. He's been really impressive. I mean, when you talk about energy, and to be honest with you, Shaunie Maguire has impressed me with his energy. Just, I know he's not that old, but the likes of Padraig Amin and him as well, how they keep themselves and how they're able to come back and seamlessly get up to speed with the rigors of Friday, Monday. It's unbelievable. But he'll be interesting to see how he plays this weekend. Now, I don't know if he's going to go straight back in, but he'd be a great option for off the bench for him.
I haven't been to Cork yet, Nathan, because I'm probably not allowed on the ground, actually, from history. But what the Cork fans, from watching games and telly, and I would watch most games back on throughout the week, it hasn't become the fortress yet. And what I mean by that is the Shedside Army. I know there's some issues around ticket pricing and there's a little bit of disharmony there, but Cork, albeit have a decent start to the season, they need like, it's an intimidating place to go to when the shed is full, because you've got to walk right past them after your warm up, as you come out, half time, end of a game. And Tim Clancy and the players will need Cork support behind them. I think Cork staying up this year, even second last win the playoff or third last, is good enough. That it's something to build on for that club. They've been a little bit up and down for too long. I think it's one of our best clubs in the whole country. So I think it's important to say supporters have to make it like really intimidated, and the Shed Army has to be a little bit louder, I would say. And it's not just them, it's around the whole ground. But that's been a little disappointing for me, and I don't know where that's coming from, but hasn't been as intimidating as it should be.
They have only lost one game. Now, they've only won one game as well, and three draws in there. And obviously, the game against Shamrock Rovers was called off. But Tim Clancy is going to be relatively happy, Vinny, because you look at the injuries that they've had, and I think Shaunie Maguire is still a few weeks away from getting back. Greg Bulger is still not fully fit. Dyke Steele isn't quite ready, though I think Cathal O'Sullivan, the talk seems to be, he might be back in the squad tomorrow night. He's been out since the opening night of the season. So they've had to rely on quite a few of those new signings, and not just Alex Nolan, but you know, I saw Clancy talking about Benny Couto at left back. A lot of these guys who've come in have been able to settle very quickly.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I will say is, whether it's been a draw, I know some Pats fan will question it, but I think they're reaping some of the rewards back end of last season for Tim's recruitment. Some of it was up and down. It's harder at the bigger clubs. But his recruitment at Drogheda, his recruitment at Cork has always been spot on. And I think you always get a few wrong. That's part of any management setup. But Tim has done really well in his recruitment. And like you said, I think Dykes still, I think he's been a real find for him as well. In particular, I really like him. But it's just been, as you said, look, Sullivan is back in the squad. I've seen that earlier on. I think you've got to be careful. And that's why I go back to the fans. And you can see any team, with the exception of two or three, lose three or four games in a row and be cut off or being under a little bit of pressure. So it's important that Cork and the supporters don't get too far ahead of themselves, and you've got to pick up results. I think we all want, and you can't pick and choose who you want in it, but we all want Cork in the Premier Division. I think it's important for the league, that big of a club. So I think it's important that the next couple of weeks are really, really crucial, that they pick up, you know, they can lose 3 or 4 nil twice, doesn't matter, but pick up 2 wins in the next 3-4 weeks and add 6 points to the tally and get themselves up that table. So feels like a big time for Cork up next week, couple of weeks.
And just what you're saying, Vinny, as well about Cork, we need Cork. I totally agree. See, as a player, and we've given enough stick about facilities and about grounds and about pitches and all that there, Cork City is always one. Although I used to have to travel from Derry to go to Cork, it was a pain in the arse. But it was always a game that you look forward to. It was always a good game. They came out and played football the right way. There was no messing with them. It was a good competitive game. And I had that for my whole career. So we need grounds like that. And the Shed End, he's 100% right. See, coming out, it's unique to the league. There's nothing like it. St. Pat's used, the Shed End behind St. Pat's goal used to be amazing as well, but you didn't come out underneath it. So now Cork have got that, and they've got to take advantage of it.
Waterford then, since they went top of the table, have had a couple of difficult results, beaten 3-0 at home by Bohemians in a result I don't think anyone really saw. And then before the international break, they were beaten 1-0 up in Galway. Vinny, from what you've seen of Waterford this season, can they kick on from last year where, let's be honest, with, what, 5-6 weeks left in the season, they weren't out of the title mix?
If I say no, is that disrespectful? No, I don't think they can. They're losing too many players. But, and I Waterford are in one of those categories where I feel like they can win two or they can lose two or three, but they can win four or five on the bounce. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll chase down that European spot. Ultimately, I think they might fall short of it. I don't think they'll be in the relegation trouble in terms of I don't see them being bottom, that's for sure. Someone has to be, that's the challenge. But because you've got decent experience in terms of Boyle, Leahy, Almond, as you said, there's enough about them to keep them up. The manager obviously completely and utterly gets the league. He's been very, very good in how he's managed stuff. Generally, they seem to find a few diamonds. A couple of loan signings from Fleetwood and that generally work for them. But they've lost. Their turnover has been huge again. Some really good players. So you fear that they're not able to kick on, but I also feel they'd be quite comfortable. Like if you were to say where will Waterford finish and you had to put your house on, you'd say, you know, fifth, sixth comfortably, you know.
What do you think, Gareth?
Yeah, no, I think they'll be fine as well. But very similar to Vinny. I think just that Keith Long's team, they just play with a freedom. A little bit like Cork. I mean, if Cork were playing Waterford tomorrow, either home or away, it would just be such a difficult game to try and predict. And I know how difficult it is in the league to predict. But they've got loads of freedom. I mean, they came up to the Brandywell and they were very good. Obviously, Derry were looking to push them over. I saw them live. I couldn't believe how comfortable the players were on the ball and on the pitch. They were passing it in short spaces. Almond, again, was leading the line. Lurigan really impressed me that night. I think Noonan is a great addition. And again, Vinny touched on it, these players that are on the bench for the so-called big two or three, and they've got to go away and play football. And I don't care if it's in the first division or lower down in the Premier Division, the freedom of playing football. There's nothing worse as a footballer than training all week and not playing on the weekend and sitting on the bench. It is soul-destroying. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be sitting sixth or seventh. And listen, they couldn't go on a run, but I don't see them anywhere near the bottom. And Keith Long's ability to get his players to play with freedom will be the key.
On Conan Noonan, who I don't think he didn't play against Galway last time out. Vinny, is this a loan move, do you think, with the potential of staying away from Shamrock Rovers? Or does Conan Noonan have enough to come back and establish himself in that team?
I don't know the ins and outs of it. Like, was it him that pushed the move or was it the club and Shamrock Rovers? But ultimately, that's any loan. Anytime you get a player out on loan, ultimately what dictates that is sometimes you can get lads out. I remember getting Georgie Kelly out on loan and he done so well. People were looking at me as if I was off me rocker. Like, but it's just one of them things. It's not like you can do sometimes. Fellas just want out of your club. So it's safer for you to send them on loan at the time. But this one is ultimately how he does for Waterford will dictate whether he's good enough to play for Shamrock Rovers. And it's great, the loan move. I don't see him getting into the Rovers team over the next couple of months. So therefore, to go to Waterford, if he gets in, plays, and has to be probably the best player for Waterford to go back to Rovers, ultimately. Unless, come summer, they've got something crazy like a mad sort of injury list. I just think it's important that he sees this sort of opportunity that's there for him. And to be fair, clubs like Waterford, as you said, Cork, they're giving these lads an opportunity to go and play. So it's sort of sink or swim time for a lot of these young lads. And Tommy Lonergan is another good example where he's been coming for a while and it's now his opportunity to go and prove to everybody he's good as we felt he was about sort of 18 months ago, 2 years ago. So I think the Noonan one is very interesting. Wise move from him, but he has to now do his talking on the pitch.
And Nathan, just on Waterford before you, there's a big reliance which probably wasn't there last year or the year before that. Should Almond get injured, it would be a big, big hit for them. They always had a bit of pace, or people, Asamoah, chipping in.
Parsons.
With the, Yeah, Parsons chipping in with a few goals. I mean, I don't see that in this current Waterford squad. So that's why if Amund were to get injured, I would have a serious worries about Waterford. And listen, I don't think there's any issues because he's been last year, he played every minute of every game. But God forbid if he was to get an injury or anything happening, I would be worried for Waterford.
Yeah, Conan Noonan did actually start that game against Galway as well. Tomorrow night, they're taking on Pats. Jamie Lennon is back for Pats. He's certainly back in training. You'd imagine with the international break, he might be ready to start as well. And probably mentioned this a few times in the opening weeks of the season. In his absence, the heart has grown fonder and he feels suddenly, Gareth, like the one guy they can't go without.
Yeah, and listen, I would tend to agree. And it's funny because Stephen Kenny would always have, any time that I've watched him, or even when he was at Derry managing us, he always had a like for like in every position. So two right backs, two left backs, four centre halves, two sitting midfielders, aggressive. And he had young Bulger there, who was probably Lennon's kind of alternative. And he didn't have him now. And I'll be honest with you, I was very surprised they didn't suffer more from that because the two players they played in there, Forrester, hadn't done much of a pre-season.
Barry Bagley.
No, but the other guy, McClelland.
Palmer's out for a long period, I think, with a hamstring. Yeah. They stuck Jamie Velland in there.
Brandon Kavanagh, but he was playing with a 4-4-2. That was also part of the problem.
But it was, and McClellan was there, and I don't think that the Pats team themselves suit the 4-4-2. But I mean, having a centre midfield of McClellan and Forrester, there's not much protection there for your back four, and they just weren't punished either. That was the pitchers that the teams they were up against just did not punish them enough. Bigley coming back is a wee bit more solid, but I think Lennon comes straight in. You play Forrester in beside him, and you have Kavanagh in front of him. To me, that's
so. So who do you leave out, Mealy or Keane?
I think you've got to leave Mealy out, just the way Keane's playing. I mean, Keane's he's unplayable at the minute. Even I saw him live against Derry, he was exceptional. He got the penalties, but his overall game, his movement, his pace, his fitness, his sharpness. And listen, Mealy and him are very, very, very close. Mealy played well that night as well. He played two up front, but I think Keane plays ahead of him.
Yeah, I think that's important for Pats because very noticeable the other day when he's brought Brandon Kavanagh in, and it was Bagley, Forrester, and Brandon Kavanagh in that as a three. They look a better team. And Keane didn't have his best game against Balls, and they were still comfortable enough 1-3-0. But Mealy came on and looked like he was a little bit sore about being left out, which is a really good sign. Came on, was very, very good. Obviously, got his goal. Brilliant goal. Albeit a brilliant Pats goal, only a 2-yard finish from him. So that's interesting to see. Like, he's got to manage that. He's got to manage Keane and Mealy. Can he play? I mean, he's obviously got huge quality in the wide areas, and Mulroney, Albazetti, even Simon Power can come off the bench. McClelland can play there. So it feels like their best option is to leave either Keane or Mealy out, which is fascinating to see. But then again, does Stephen see teams like, you know, Waterford and the, you know, sort of so-called teams outside of that top four as opportunity to play the 4-4-2. So that'll be interesting to see tactically where they come up with it. But the other one I seen back on the bench is Sean Hoare. Mm. I think that's really important. But I was at the game early, obviously last week, and the work Lennon done, he was very, very close to fitness. That was almost 2 weeks ago. So you imagine he comes back in, but do they mind him a little bit? Be interesting to see.
And I tell you, Nathan, just on Pats, they cannot take Waterford for granted, because Waterford came to Brandywell and Derry took him for granted. Tiernan Lynch played Jackie right back, and he played White in the middle of the park to try and give him some minutes, and Waterford just ran all over the top of him. So they and I don't think Stephen would do that. They can't go down to Waterford and play a Lennon if he's not ready, because they will get turned over. Waterford have got that freedom and youthfulness that they can just go and play and hurt you.
And Waterford beat Pats twice at the RSC last season. Mealy was away with the 21s, became the youngest ever scorer for the 21s. Vinny, does that make it a bit more straightforward for Stephen Kenny, the fact he hasn't been around for the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that is... When you're a manager, and they both have different attributes, to be fair. Like, Mealy is old school. He's almost like plays like a 27, 28-year-old centre-forward. He will bash into people. He looked to feel a little bit of contact. And he's obviously a good finisher as well, good movement in the box. But he's a bit more all-rounded, where Keane feels like he's a deadly striker. Again, he can score from outside the box as well, but they're different types. But as a manager sometimes, remember a player come to me once and said, just wondering why I was left out. And it was a simple answer of, I don't know. There was nothing between the two of us today, and I picked you the fella for no reason. And no reason, you haven't done that wrong. So I'm not going to make something up. And it's a little bit like that with Stephen, or any manager, sort of feel like Melia has just opened the door to allow Keane in, and it makes the decision that little bit easier. Because there's nothing between the two of them, so it's a tough, tough call. So he'll probably just favour Keane, you would feel, this week.
How would you have felt, Gareth, if you went to the manager asking why you were left out and he said, I don't know?
I
tossed a coin.
Sometimes there's nothing. But in a big squad, like you talked about Stephen Kenny's squads, Gareth, sometimes, like you said, four centre-halves. It was actually a centre-half came to me, where there was nothing between them that week. Now, I did say we play about 70-odd games of football, and you'll start 20-odd games, 20, 25, and everyone gets injured, you get more. But sometimes you've just no reason for leaving a guy out, and fellas can smell bullshit as well. If you start going down the line of this and that and different things, and if you work on this, nothing, it's nonsense. But
is it not a lot easier for Stephen Kenny to leave Melia out than Keane out? Because Melia's going. So no matter what happens, whether he scores 5 goals this season or 25 goals this season, he's going. And the value has already been set in stone. So there's not even that part of it of the better he does, the more they're going to get. Like, the deal is done. So Keane is his guy this season, probably next season as well. Does he need to protect that relationship more than he needs to protect the Melia relationship? And may that actually end up hampering Melia's opportunities?
I think in general, the move was brilliant. And I think Stephen Kenny would have been pushing for the move to happen just because of that. Because, I mean, he was the superstar. He was the asset. So to increase the value of the asset, Melia would have had a start ahead of Keane. And if Stephen had been done his homework and Keane gets in and scores goals, he would have went to Gareth Keller and says, listen, I can't keep playing this Melia if Keane is scoring loads of goals or playing better than him. So get the job done. Get the value now that's quite high, which we know is 1.9 million or whatever it was. Cash in and allow me then to make a selection about the two of them rather than being forced into. But you're right, he has to protect the Keane relationship as well. But that's been easy. Keane has made that easy for him. He's just scoring goals.
He doesn't, though. What he has to do is win games of football. And the most ruthless man you'll ever meet in football is Stephen Kenny. He'll pick whoever he feels going to score a goal. Be under no illusions about that. I shouldn't even say, what's the word I'm looking for? You know that one, stand on your granny or whatever. Stephen Kenny.
Kill his granny, as John Giles would say.
Yeah, that's the one. He is ruthless. If he feels over the next month that Melia is more likely to score a goal, he will start him 100%. He won't give two hoots about next season or protecting a relationship. He'll pick the right player. But it is an easier call to leave Melia out at the moment, only at the moment, but it's not an easy one.
See, when you're in that dressing room, Vinny, and you know, and you can kind of predict what the manager's going to do, whether it be the how well the player's doing in training or in previous matches, there's less knocking on the doors because he always makes the most logical, practical team decision, and it's easier. I'm sure that's why he doesn't get many knocks on the door. But I tell you what, if I went to the door, I'd need a better reason than Vinny giving.
Yeah, but I remember one player knocked on his door, got left out, and came out to me and went, I said, all right, how did that go? I was having a little bit of banter. I said, if I was the gaffer, you'd be playing, you know, just lighting the mood around. It was just the start of a warm-up and the lads were laughing. And he pulled me about 2 minutes later, the player went, fucking hell, you just told me I was the best player in the league, but I'm left out tomorrow. You know, he had that. He had that way where you felt 10 foot walking out of a dressing room, you know, and you felt like there'd be people paying in to watch you tomorrow when you come off this bench, you know, that type of stuff, Gareth. You've heard it.
He's a master at it, honestly, God. I've never seen him keep as many 22 players happy as I did in Derry. It was incredible.
Go on, Gareth, talk about it a bit more, because, you know, we're coming off an international week where, unfortunately for Stephen Kenny, no matter what he does, a pats over the coming years. Every time we have an international week and we win a couple of games, his reputation's going to get a battering.
Well, and Nathan, a perfect example is the stories, right? So he would foresee 2 or 3 weeks on than you would ever. So he would say, you're left out tonight, but look at that game there. I'm going to need you then. I'm going to have to change the shape. You're going to play in this position. You're going to be the main man. You're going to play up beside this person, or you're going to play with this person behind you. He would just have a story and narrative spun even before you come in there. And he would know, who's coming in or who's about to knock on the door, and who should be knocking on the door, who shouldn't be knocking on the door. But what he was good at as well, he always knew how to push the player's buttons. He always knew the player that he needed to put an arm around and tell them they're the best player in the world, or come into the changing room and absolutely slaughter someone when they didn't do that much wrong, and how they would react to that as well. So the man management side, we've heard it for years. To me, that's his biggest skill. Second to that is being able to spot a player, whether it be in the opposition dressing room or when he goes to recruit players.
Do you know what he's like, Nathan? Do you know the history teacher, maybe, that's really strict, but when he cracks a joke, everyone laughs because that's your opportunity to get it out. You know, he's been holding it in throughout class. Like in a team talk, that example, I remember him saying to someone, like you're probably the You're a brilliant dribbler of the ball. You're just brilliant. Now, you're not as good as him. He's the best in the league. And the person he's pointing at, he was at the leaving out for the night. And then we're having a bit of crack about it in the warm-up. Again, me being me, stirring a bit of trouble. But, like, that's the type of team talk. And where I slightly disagree with Gareth, I know it's different up in Derry, but I think he does his best work when he's only got, like, 14, 15, 16-man squads, because he doesn't have to do all of those competitions. There's sort of a hierarchy that's developed in a squad. And once he creates that hierarchy, in terms of, you almost know who's playing, there'll be different calls. But I think if you look at, say, his Dundalk team, you sort of could pick, by and large, you could pick the team most weeks. Most weeks, there was a couple of small changes here and there around right wing, definitely Mountney or Darren Meenan over the years or whoever, but we knew who the forward was. We knew who the left back, right back, left winger was, either Horgan, Duffy, centre half. We definitely had three, but it wasn't flooded with lots of changes. So there is a bit of management, and that's maybe partly why we're not going to have an international chat here. But when you think of all the changes he made and had to make internationally, that's why he didn't feel none of them got to see the best of him, because he probably needed a settled 20-man squad where possible, you know?
Yeah, and he probably, in international level, he couldn't create the competitiveness internally that he wanted. He just didn't have enough good players in those positions to generally compete for the same position. And once you do that, whether it be in training or match to match, as you say, Vinny, it generally works out itself. The player that's in form or that just has the age, all the other players see it. So whenever the other player's left out, A, he can't complain, and the other players know that if I'm not in the team today and I keep going or come on or score, then I'll be playing the week after.
Yeah, and he was very clever doing 11v11 as well. And on a Tuesday, he'd play 3 15-minute games, meant it, and he'd end up being 3 20-minute games or whatever. But you'd sort of, the first 11 was always the one that was starting on Friday night, and then you'd mix it for the second one and mix it again for the third one. So lads sort of knew Tuesday they were being left out, and that gave them the opportunity to get the crankiness out of them. You never found out with Stephen on a match day you weren't playing. It was always 90% of the time, 95% of the time was before that, you know.
Speaking of Stephen Kenny, there was a Stephen Kenny derby last weekend in the First Division, Dundalk against Longford, and Dundalk came from behind. And Stephen Kenny's son scored for Dundalk in the victory against Longford. So we did have a run of games in the First Division last week while the Premier Division was off. Dundalk unbeaten so far, 6 games in, 5 wins, 1 draw. They're on 16 points, 2 clear of Cove Ramblers, and then Cove are 5 points clear of Wexford, though Wexford have a game in hand. We had Stephen Elliott on the show last night, actually, well worth a listen back, who's just gone in as Wexford manager. We were all sort of wondering what would happen with Dundalk, Vinny, and I remember being up there today, Kieran Kilduff was announced, and I think there was still a lot of uncertainty at that stage as to what part-time football meant, what players would be retained, what players would want to stay, were contracts valid if you were moving from full-time to part-time. But when you look at the quality that is in that squad, like there's an argument maybe they've got the best three or four players in that league, all in that Dundalk team. He's kept a lot more quality than maybe we expected 3 or 4 months ago. And are they where you would have expected them to be?
Yes and no. I think we had to wait and see, to be fair, to Kilduff. No one was 100% sure. I know he'd done really well with Athlone ladies team, but there was still a let's wait and see. As you said, there was a little bit of a couple of the younger players, how are they going to react? But I think you've got to give Kieran Kilduff huge credit. He set the standard in that league so far this season. The only points he dropped was to a late goal. I think it was against Limerick. They've looked comfortable in games. They look like they can go and win games by more if they need to. I think Owen Kenny, I think this is, in one sense, Owen Kenny, that team being relegated is probably good for him. It gives him an opportunity to sort of notch a few goals, play every single week, a little bit more freedom under not the same pressure of the Premier Division. So I think it'd be good as part of his development. He's slowly but surely becoming a really fine young player. And
how good is he, Vinny?
It's interesting. I don't know is the honest answer, because what I mean by that is he's the potential to be everything. I mean, when all Owen ever did was whenever I seen him was kick a ball from sort of 7, 8, 9, 10 around Oriel Park. He'd be there till 12 o'clock at night. The lights be off. He'd be kicking balls. It's so much in his blood that you don't make them type of footballers anymore. Because of the way his father moved from Donegal to Dundalk, he would have played locally up in Donegal. Then he moved to another club out in Black Rock. So he had it. He didn't have it like the way a lot of Dublin players would have it with the Kevins, the Bowles, into a League of Ireland setup. So he's had to earn it a little bit. And there's also a little bit of pressure. People think it's easy because who his father was, but there's probably a bit of pressure with that as well, particularly when he was Ireland international manager. There was a lot of noise around it. So really, like, Owen's just, he's a brilliant kid, adores football. I think he's a Fulham fan, if I'm not mistaken. So he has a few flaws, don't get me wrong, but he has it all to be really good. It's a little bit like we're starting to see the emergence of centre forwards again, that people want that again, wants to feel a little bit of contact, wants to leave a little bit on defenders, not shy about using his backside or his elbows to protect the ball. And he also has even if you look at the goal he got last week, he also has a really strong natural ability, and that's why I reference seeing him kicking. But like when we train, he'd go down to the grass pitch. If we were on the grass pitch, he'd go up to the Astro. He'd spend 2 hours a day with the ball, bouncing off crossbars. Whether his older brother Fionn was with him or not, he's still done it. So he's done it the street football way, and you can see that in his ability. So that's a long way of saying I'm not 100% sure how good he's going to be, but he's on a brilliant pathway, and I hope it works out for him, because I think there's actually more pressure because of who his father is than the other way, you know. So it's watch this space. But I'd imagine you'll get 10 plus goals minimum in the first division if Dundalk come back up. You'd be surprised if he wasn't leading the line from next year, which would be a great place for him to be.
The fact that Daryl Horgan instantly said he was staying was a huge boost, I think, for the entire town, that this wasn't going to collapse completely. Keith Ward is there. I can't believe Ed Durbin is playing First Division football. I couldn't believe Galway United didn't use him more in the first half of last season before he ended up going to Dundalk. Why is he not playing Premier Division football, Gareth?
Well, I think we talked about it earlier. See, if you're training every week and you're not playing every week, it's soul destroying. So he's probably gone there. So you know what? I'm going to go down. I'm going to play every week. I'm going to be one of the main men in the league. Never mind the team. and I'm going to really put a smile on my face again. I mean, that's what football's all about. So fair play to him for going down there, but you also got to do it, because I'm sure it's not easy. It's quite competitive, the league. I know they've got some good players. They've obviously got a good history, but you also got to go and do it. So, I mean, brilliant to see him. And as you say, Daryl Horgan, I mean, with Kilduff, you managing those type of players. The one thing I say about Kilduff, when he took the job very early at Dundalk, because no doubt he took a chance, but what I really liked is what the other ladies manager, the managers of the other ladies team said about him, how respectful he was, how dedicated he was, and how involved he was in the ladies game. So if he applies that now to Dundalk, you can see the fruits of that. And you've got those sort of players, Owen Kenny banging goals in for him, Daryl and Dervin. I mean, Keith Ward as well was a very astute signing. I mean, it's no coincidence that everywhere where Keith goes, he plays, he has an influence. And Keith is one of those players, I played with him, that he influences the culture of the dressing room in a really positive way. And they're underestimated how important that is. Vinny talked about it earlier about Stephen Kenny being able to take the pressure off people's. Keith Ward, when he's in the dressing room and you're up against a good team, you're playing in Europe, he just takes the pressure off everyone and just makes everybody smile. So yeah, I mean, Kilduff's got a nice little squad there, and he's going to have to start. I mean, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. He's going to have to start now adding a few more, that if they do come up, that they're able to stay up, because it's not easy staying up.
Yeah, but don't underestimate what's happening down the Cove. They're not going to have it all their own way this year, and they've got to be right on the money, because if they're not, I think Cove, you often find when Cork are promoted, there's a couple of players that are just below the Premier Division level that end up at Cove, and Cove all have a really strong season while Cork are in the Premier Division. So, and all, obviously the money that's down there now and the recruitment that's going on. So it looks like a two-horse race at this stage already.
Yeah, and just on Cove as well, Mick is so shrewd with his signings, with how he goes about it. He was up at Glentoran and he really signed well for them as well. I mean, Coffey and Murphy in from Cork were two unbelievable signings straight away as well. And then you had Shane Griffin, obviously, it came from Shells. I mean, though, adding those players to any team, whether it be in the Premier Division, the First Division, is going to strengthen them. So Mick, as you say, Mick will give it a real rattle.
So tomorrow night, full live radio commentary on News Talk here on Off the Ball from 7 o'clock.
Will you be in Tala, Nathan?
I will.
Will you be in Tala?
I will. We'll have everybody there. We'll have myself, yourself, Steve-O, Gareth, group hug. We get the pod together. We get a little selfie or something.
Yeah.
Gareth might buy us all dinner beforehand.
Absolutely, lads. You want to meet up for dinner? I'm up for that.
I'll tell you what. What a treat.
Steve-O's going into enemy territory. You might be keen on eating up around Tala.
I mightn't show up again, the same as in Derry.
It doesn't feel as big as Rovers Derry of the last few years, where even right at the start of the season, it always felt like it could have a big impact on the title, but maybe I'm underestimating both these sides right now. Vinny, a strange thing with Rovers is they named an unchanged team for the last couple of games, which I don't think they named an unchanged team at any stage last season. When you look at that midfield of Healy, Watts, with McInniffen, Burke just in front, is that their best four?
On current form, it is. But like then you're dismissing someone like Jack Bourne or Gary O'Neill, and you can't do that. So they obviously are finding their feet in terms of injuries, and Gary O'Neill is obviously struggling with injury, probably needed those couple of weeks out. So, but Healy's been, and Hoonan, probably Rovers' two best players this season. It's funny, the newer players that have come into the team have sort of been the ones that have done really well. Mm. So it's probably the best midfield four at the moment. I think, I say it all the time, Graham Bourke, when he's at it, when he's in full flow, he's thereabouts with the best we've ever had in the league. He's right up at that level. Having him fit and playing week in, week out was huge. But so would be, you know, as I said, Jack Bourne. So would Jack Bourne going into that. It'd arguably make them stronger if a fit Jack Bourne goes in there. So they're the headache Stephen feels he needs, and it looks like they'll start tomorrow. But yeah, wouldn't shock me if that's the midfield that starts tomorrow and they just hold on to Jack Bourne a little bit longer.
I was asking Stephen Bradley about Matty Healy, and he was saying the one thing maybe is they're looking for a few more goals out of him. as the season goes on and pushing into those more advanced positions. Aaron McInniff is that old cliche, Gareth, like a new signing, because he was stop start last season, gone up against his old club. Tomorrow night looks as though he's somewhere back to his best.
Yeah, I think so. I think we touched on it before. When Shamrock Rovers were really humming before he went away to Hearts, that was one of the best midfields we've seen in years. And he was involved, that heavily involved in that. Once he gets that athleticism going, and we actually saw it in Europe, he was coming in from the left. Burke was kind of coming in on the right-hand side and just picking him out all day. Like, when he gets running and you've got Healy there as well, that's probably their strong point, where back in the day, Shamrock Rovers' strength was always the wingers, whether it be Clark, Ferrugia, or the wing-back, sorry. So I don't know whether they're going to have to change it up a bit and come from more of from the centre, but he's a big part of Shamrock Rovers winning the league this year.
But Gareth, that 2021 team was the best of that era they've had, and he was in that team. And it wasn't just him, but it was because of his running power from midfield. When he was at it, he was unplayable at times in that midfield.
But how often have we talked about it in the podcast? You do not get the centre midfielders that want to run beyond anymore. I mean, Aaron McInniff does that. And all the centre midfielders want to look pretty and sit in front of the back four of the opposition, pass the ball 5 yards, maybe a 1-2, and then they go in behind. Nobody goes in behind to create space for other people. But McInniff and Aaron will do the selfish work that'll give Burke and Byrne and all these boys the space to cause real damage.
But it's interesting to hear that Bradley is calling for more goals from Healy, Nathan, because I think this is... So when you say this, you don't want to be disrespectful in any way, shape or form to Gary O'Neill. So putting the record, Gary O'Neill has been one of the best midfielders that we've developed, particularly in the modern game. The way he controls, the way everything that Shamrock Rovers do have gone through him for years and years and years. But Healy coming into the team is a little bit more progressive in his passing, is more likely to make a forward pass. So it would be interesting to see, does Bradley see him as maybe someone who can play a little bit further, like in the sort of Dylan Watts position over time, O'Neill and him. So fascinating to see that. But Healy has brought that midfield, probably made them better than they were last year. Not maybe the Gary O'Neill of the year two before that, but definitely better than last year because of the speed in which he passes the ball and the way he takes more risks with his passing in terms of going forward. So really interesting watch that Healy, that whole midfield when he torn up and he had to win a game. Who's the best midfield he have? Who does he pick? You know, it'd be interesting to see.
Before we go, obviously, Gareth, we're privileged to have you here on the Dublin-based media. You're coming down tomorrow. What is the message you want to deliver on behalf of either Derry City or the people of Derry?
The whole of the Northwest, Nathan, would like to say we're coming down for 3 points. No, I don't know. Listen, Winchester's massive having him back after the suspension. Diallo's a huge miss. He broke his arm down in Sligo. He's going to be out for 5 or 6 weeks. He has been the person that's really impressed, and he's way fitter than he was last year. Defensively, Kevin Holt will be back in, I would imagine. He's trained all week. And it's just going to be another Muller kind of wait and see for Derry City. They seem to be gelling a wee bit better. I love the resilience against Sligo. They showed they hadn't shown that away to Sligo, away to Galway for quite a while. But have they got that creativity against the better teams to go and get 3 points?
What's interesting about this game tomorrow, Nathan, is I said at the fourth part, this Derry team have so many big players who've played on big occasions that they'll actually... You nearly fear for Derry going down to Waterford or Galway more than going to Shamrock Rovers. It wouldn't surprise me if he went there and got a result, as much as it make Rovers sort of favourites. But if Derry turn up and all their best players play to their level, they're not far off the best team in the league, but they just don't feel they're going to do that on a consistent basis over a season.
Yeah, and then we said it before, the team that puts 5-1, 6-1s together will end up winning the league because of how competitive it is. And I just don't see the Derry City team doing that right now. They could prove me wrong, but that consistency is hard to come by.
All right, we shall leave it there. Thank you as ever, gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow night. Live coverage.
Did you bring us out and back from Bulgaria? Anything from Plovdiv?
Yeah. I'll deliver that. I'll deliver that at dinner tomorrow night.
We'll have it for dessert.
Exactly. All right. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, live on News Talk. It is Shamrock Rovers against Derry City. We have updates on all the other games throughout the evening as well. And of course, League of Ireland late night. Johnny and Shane are going to be with Cameron from 10 o'clock on Twitter Spaces. I'm sure we'll have a few Derry fans on the line as they make the long trek back from Tala tomorrow evening. But Vinny and Stephen Perth will bring you through that. Vinny and Stephen Perth, that's a wow. Vinny and Stephen Doyle. An amalgamation of the two is a frightening prospect, isn't it? We'll talk to you next week. Good luck.
It's been emotional.
The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.